Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Glad that y'all are here this morning. Y'all can come on down. I like your boots, man. So glad that y'all are here this morning. You know, there are things like their kids get up early in the morning on the weekends and they go and they play baseball and they go and they play soccer, they go and they play volleyball. Our kids get up early in the morning and come and worship Jesus. Woohoo! All right. Thank y'all for helping us do that. You might do the other stuff too, but thank you for doing that for Jesus too. Okay, a couple of announcements. The divine portrait of Jesus in Mark chapter 4 and 5. And this is just in our apologetic series. We do these once a month. And our whole deal is how do we, you know, think in a healthy way about who God is? And then how do we share in a godly way? Who Jesus is. And so y'all come and be a part of that. That one's here. This is here at St. Luke's Sanctuary on next Tuesday. And then 2 weeks from now, all of us are invited, encouraged, please come to our all-church picnic out at the Way. And this is right after church here, right after church there, 12 o'clock. And we'll give you more details about what you're supposed to bring, because I think maybe we'll all help with this a little bit. So, but that's coming up in 2 weeks. So excited about it. This morning, I just want to pray for us. Jesus, thank you for our children who are lifting your name up high. And you say, when your name is lifted up, when you are lifted up, you'll draw all persons unto you. Thank you for their voices, and thank you for their hearts that so love you, God. And may they always know, every single child that sings today, every single child in the house, whether they be 4 years old or 40 or even more, right? Every single child in this house know how much you love them. We ask this and pray this, needing your presence here today, Lord. Come, Jesus. You are welcome here. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys, we are in the middle of our series of pieces together. J.D. Walt has written a book called Unpuzzled. If you're listening to the Daily Wake Up Call, you're reading along. We're doing Ephesians for 6 weeks. That means this morning you get just a little piece of that. So hear and receive God's word. This is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, may be opened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power, it's like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is us, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Lord Jesus, this morning, God, we long, we need for you to do what you did in Ephesus, for you to come and do that in Lubbock. God, for what you did in those 12 men long ago, for you to do that in us. So Lord, come and have your way. Come and make your word come alive to us. Speak, Lord, your children are listening. In your name, Jesus, amen. Y'all can be seated. Kids, y'all did so awesome. I told them in the early service, can y'all come back next week and do it all over again? So, but next week, if you don't know, they're going to be going to do mission in Oklahoma City. Actually, a guy that grew up in our church who's pastor serving up there, Brian Wardrop, they're going to be doing ministry in his church in Oklahoma City. So thank y'all, kids, for serving Jesus this morning, and thank you for serving him this weekend as well. All right, so three questions this morning. Three questions about the church then in Ephesus, and three questions about us even now. So first, where did the church begin? Where did the church begin? So Ephesus, it's a city similar in size to Lubbock, about 250,000 people, called Ephesus home. Ephesus was the second largest city in the Roman Empire, second only to Rome itself. It was a port city and served as a major gateway for trade between Europe and the Near East. Ephesus was famous as the home of the great temple of Artemis. Now, this was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Religious pluralism was the norm. Belief in many gods, that was the norm in Ephesus. So there were 10,000 Jews. Remember, 250,000 people, 10,000 Jews who believed in Yahweh and called Ephesus home. The great majority of the population worshiped the supposed fertility and life-giving goddess Artemis. And many Ephesians made their living from selling her idols and other aids to worship. Emperor worship, worship of the Roman pantheon of gods, was also common. And sorcery, aka black magic, was practiced by many. So much so that when revival came, when the outpouring of God's Spirit came, broke out, this is how Luke records what happened. This is in Acts 19. Many of those who believed, they now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, in the burning of all that stuff, leaving it all behind, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. The people of Ephesus, y'all, they saw with their own two eyes the saving and transforming power of God. That great big bonfire, a drachma is a day's wages, okay? So let's just say $100 a day multiplied by that day, that was left behind that day. Reminds me of the story, you know, this the boats that they'd come across the Atlantic in, burned the boats. He wanted his soldiers, his sailors, to know that there was no turning back, that the only way for them was to go forward. That was how the Aztec Empire came to be defeated. To let go of our self-reliance, to let go of all those obstacles that we've, you know, held on to that have held us back from going onward and upward with Jesus. It's only as we let it go, it's only as we surrender, it's only as we give ourselves to Jesus that we will let no doubt. The gospel of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus was needed in the city of Ephesus 2,000 years ago. But no doubt, the good news of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus is needed in Lubbock. The good news of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus is needed in us this very morning. At Ephesus. There he Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, and what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. They were disciples. Yes. They were following the right way on the outside, but they were missing God's presence on the inside. They were working hard to follow the righteous living that John had taught them, but they were absent of the power that Holy Spirit. the destiny of their city forever. Indeed, what happens next changes the destiny of the world, because what starts as their little church of 12 people in Ephesus would become the mother church, the ministry base that literally Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. You know, something was missing in those 12 disciples long ago. And that something, that someone might also possibly be missing even in us this very morning. I mean, we might be looking pretty good on the outside, but really struggling, really empty on the inside. This is what John Wesley said about us 240 years ago when he was in his early 80s. He said, "I'm not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist either in Europe or America. But I am afraid lest they should only exist as a dead spirit and discipline with which they first set out. The form of religion without the power." By the way, the form of religion, we're all sitting in the church this morning. That's the form of religion, right? We're all doing a religious thing this morning, attending this service. John Wesley was afraid that the people called Methodists might have the form of religion without the power. May that not be us. There's a lot of big churches in the world today. But you know what? Right, is these 12 men become a power. So first, Paul and these 12 guys head to the synagogue. Open until they weren't open anymore. Used to believe and publicly maligned the way. So receptivity. And when that was just a small meeting place, a small learning place, maybe could seat 50 to 75 people. And there were 50,000 in Ephesus, but in the whole province of Asia, there were about 2 million people. So all the Jews, all the Greeks heard the word of the Lord. Now, I just want to do a little math with you again this morning. Let's say that Paul met with 100 people a day, okay? So 5 days a week, 2 years, 104 weeks, he meets with them. The math tells us that that strategy, using just that strategy, Paul could only have met with just 52,000 people. There's 2 million people. For 2 million people to actually hear the word of the Lord in 2 years was not through meetings in a lecture hall and people coming to hear a guy named Paul. Not just a stage and pew. The only way encounters in their everyday lives. I love the way J.D. Walt defines awakening. Again, if you're reading the wake-up call, you're listening to J.D. every morning or reading J.D., but he says, awakening is the journey of love from Jesus to a person through a person. 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 Dot, 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 dot. On and on and on until the world is transformed. So that's a little bit of how it all began 2,000 years ago, but hopefully it's a lot of bit of how God desires his awakening movement to begin even in us and even through us this very morning. So if that's how it all began 2,000 years ago, how did the church continue? The answer is found in the way Paul prayed in Ephesians 1. We just read it. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you always in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. How did the church in Ephesus continue and grow 2,000 years ago? How does the church of Jesus called St. Luke's continue and grow today? P-R-A-Y-E-R, prayer. Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks. Paul says, I've not stopped asking. Giving thanks, have we stopped praying? He never stopped seeking God in prayer. In the early 1900s, Ian Bounds became the 20th century American church. And in his book, The Power of Prayer, Bounds wrote these words. Methods. The church doesn't need innovation. What the church needs today is men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use, men and women of prayer, men and women. I am that our impediment for God making the difference he wants to make in us and through us for our city is our lack of prayer. Our lack of he is wanted. God comes where he is wanted. Tyson says there's one thing that can be certain of throughout the scriptures and stories. To our homes, to our church, to our city, we have to want him in our own hearts. We have to become ourselves a place where Jesus is truly wanted. Is your heart such a place this morning? The great preacher of the 19th century, Charles Spurgeon, said, the prayer meeting is a thermometer of the church. You know what he means, right? I mean, we had two kids this week, grandkids who had flu B, and so their temperature went above. Not just the thermometer of the church, but the thermostat of the church. I don't know if they knew about thermostats in the 1800s. The thermostat of the church, because what's going on in prayer makes all the difference in what's going on here in us. What's going on in prayer makes all the difference in what's going on in this house. What's going on in prayer makes all the difference. is a call to prayer, but not just a call to prayer, not just a challenge to pray, but he also gives us, Paul gives us a pattern of how we are to pray for one another, of how we are to pray for our loved ones, of how we're to pray for followers of Jesus all around our world. And that's, if you're reading what we read this morning, this is verses 17 and following. Paul gives glory. That we might know God better. Paul is not asking for an uptick in Ephesians religious activity. So that the Ephesians grow in their intimacy with God. Jesus is not looking for us to do more stuff for him. He's looking for us to fully belong to him. So Paul prays, glorious Father, may you give your spirit of wisdom and revelation to the Ephesians, to the St. Lukeans. I'm not sure that's there, but almost there, to the St. Lukeans. So they may know you, so we may know you better. Paul's second request is that the transformational outcomes would become real in our lives. Outcome number one, Paul's prayer is that our eyes would be open so that we would know the hope to which we have been called. Hope to belong to him. Hope to be transformed by him. Hope to be used by him. Hope to spend our forever with him. We don't hope, y'all, or wish just like for the future. We actually hope from the future. Because we know how the story ends, right? We know he who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul's prayer is that our eyes would be open so that we can know the radical and overwhelming riches of God's glorious inheritance that is found in experience. This is what Paul says. This glorious inheritance is experienced in his holy people, in his church. We pray for God to open our eyes to see the incredible miracle of who is the person who is sitting right beside us. The miracle of this guy and that girl and that man and that kid that have truly come to know Jesus, who once was lost but now is found, right? He used to be blind but now he sees, and she used to be dead but man, she's alive. We pray for God to open our eyes so that we can see and know the wonderful, amazing grace that has been and is at work in every single one of us in this room. We pray for God to open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see and know the beauty of how the Holy Spirit is gifting and using every single son and daughter of the living God here this morning. Open our eyes to see not just what somebody's doing on the stage, but to see what's happening in the whole body. We believe in the priesthood of believers. We believe that all Christians are called to be servants and leaders, difference makers in this world. Prayer is that our eyes would power that is available to all of us who believe in him. Same power that has exalted Jesus. And evil, they don't get to call the shots of who we are. This morning. A couple of stories as we close. 2 Kings. He visions, God had given Elisha, the prophet, inside information. Traitors and leaking out the information. But this is what they told him in 2 Kings 6:12. The prophet who's in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the army to go and destroy Elisha. Man completely surrounding the city. The servant and this is what Elijah said. Those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open. Full of chariots of fire all around, as far as he could see, all around the prophet Elisha. Elisha didn't pray for the army to leave. The enlightened sight that God wants to give us is not about seeing things that aren't there. God opening and enlightening our eyes is all about us seeing and knowing the circumstances of our life could ever be. We are not alone. The kids will sing a song later that he is right beside us. In the physical world, right, we are surrounded by all the I brought my infrared goggles, not really, but anyway. But if we put on infrared night vision goggles, right, the entire forest, which is is it opening the eyes of our heart? Of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the promises of God, they just look dark and they seem in touch in our lives. When God energy, the heat of God's power and love act. Threats all around us, we will see his presence. Are you wearing for how you open the eyes of 12? Pair of eyes in this house this morning. And let our world today be changed. Eyes so that we'll know the riches of your grace. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You to see you high and lifted up. Open the eyes of our hearts, 'cause we want to see you.
The testimony of their song be the testimony of our lives. Y'all come and share. God, that has the power to transform our lives. So open our eyes. God, their eyes are wide open to see you and your glory and your but God, by your grace, take us to where we need to be. Lord, I ask that as you open our eyes, we would see this world even as you see it, and that we would love this world even as you have loved us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.